Bandwidth for this podcast is provided by CacheFly at cachefly.com. This is the iPhone Alley Podcast, episode 74 for February 17th, 2010, post-Macworld wrap-up. This podcast is brought to you by GoToAssist. For your free 30-day trial, go to gotoassist.com/alley. Okay, the gang's all here. That means it's time to talk about the iPhone, the iPod Touch, the iPad, the App Store. I'm Michael Johnston, and joining me tonight is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff.
Hey. As always, glad to be here.
It's good to have you. I'm glad to have you here. And Adam Christensen's here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, and for those who missed it, this is the iPhone Alley Podcast.
iPhone Alley Podcast.
Yeah.
I'll fix that in post.
We just did.
Too late.
Done. All Bill right. Palmer's here from, what's the new name? Beat Week?
I can't remember. I'm not sure. I think it's Beat Week or...
Beat Week Magazine.
Beat Week or something. Beat Ween. I don't know.
Formerly iProng Magazine. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. You?
I'm good. We're all back from Macworld Expo. I believe we all had a fantastic time. But if you had a bad time, speak up. Actually, don't speak up. But so we were all at Macworld, and we all did the parties, and we did the expo. And I think I would like to talk about some stuff that I found at Macworld that I really enjoyed. And you guys are totally free to jump in with something cool that you guys saw, because I was focusing on the iPhone stuff. So at Macworld, the coolest thing, and Bill, you actually showed me this, or you pointed it out to me anyway. You said, go check out FastMac's booth because they have something cool. And FastMac had the IV Plus. So it's a battery case, just like the Mophie Juice Pack Air. It's actually a little thinner and supposedly has a little more battery life. It's also got an LED flash and light on the back. So if you have a third-party app that supports it, it'll actually, the flash will supposedly go off when you take the picture. And you can also just turn it on as a nice, bright LED flash. But it's also got an infrared port on there, so you can use it as a universal remote. And I want one.
Get in line, buddy.
Yeah. So did everyone get around to see that?
Yeah, it was actually really cool.
Did Jeff? Did they win an award from the Mac Observer? Don't feel bad if they didn't, because I can change
actually,
it. I can change
I
it and I can say
the
that
list.
They sucked.
Yeah, it's a check.
Yeah, sorry,
Adam. Did you check it out?
Actually, no, they did, because it's not shipping yet.
Oh, okay.
I did, and it was very, very cool. And I talked to the guy who did the software, the guy from Yumi.
Yeah.
And the other cool thing about that, did you mention that they're working supposedly on some software to control the flash, the LED flash, so that when you actually take a picture, it actually flashes.
Yeah. So I guess you have to have the right third party application, the right third party camera.
Right. App. Exactly. But just the fact that it's going to have it is going to, a lot of people are going to be excited about that. Of course, you can still do the thing like on the old FastMac IV case. You know, just flip it on and have it be a constant on for like video or whatever. But
right, yeah, yeah.
So that was a cool feature. I actually, it's funny. I bought the IV, the original IV case, because I didn't have one of those yet, and I need all the what I discovered at Macworld was you can never have enough iPhone batteries, external batteries.
One in each pocket, right?
Yeah, I need somebody just like a big.
Adam has a vest,
a battery belt with a 30-pin. Cable coming off of it.
You know, I've been yelling at FastMac for years, and they didn't do it. At least I hope they weren't dumb enough to do it, because I told them to, but I think because everyone said this, you know, they had that original IV that you talked about, and it's the biggest, baddest battery, and it was the first, I think, to be shipping back in late 2007 even. But the thing's outdated, and it's just too big, and it's too awkwardly shaped.
Oh, yeah.
The bottom of it shaped like a first-generation iPhone dock, which... You know, that just shows how old it is. And I've been yelling at them and saying, look, you know, your competitor Mophie makes this thing that I use every day. It's the Juice Pack Air. It doesn't last nearly as long, but it kind of fits in my pocket without having to wedge it in there. And finally they brought out something that actually, I think, on all counts, is better than the Juice Pack Air, even down to the cheaper price. That's before you even get to the TV version, which actually is more expensive, but then it's
yeah.
got so, the remote thing.
So there's actually the IV, right? It's the IV and the IV Plus. So
IV Lite and Plus.
Oh, the IV Lite, yeah. So the IV Lite is everything we just said minus the remote part.
Right.
So it still has the LED light, the battery pack. And it has some extra ports on there, right? There, it still has the USB, so you can charge something else if you want. Is that right?
Oh God, I'd have to look.
I think it does. I think it does have the USB.
I'm thinking maybe the cheap one doesn't, and the $99 one does. But then I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm looking at the specs. It says, and this may be just for the IV Plus. I don't remember which page I pulled this from, but it's a 1300 milliamp hour battery, which the Juice Pack Air is 1200, so you get an extra 100 milliamp hours, which is the measure of how much capacity it has to carry. But it has a 2-in-1 iPhone plus USB charger, so I assume that's the ability to plug in another device using USB to charge that other device off of the battery. And the other cool thing that they were very sure to mention to me is that while the Juice Pack Air, I actually had one. They said, take it out and show it to me. I'll show you why this is better. And of course, my Juice Pack Air is broken, like I think everybody else's is. The top bit, it actually cracks and is very flimsy.
Here we go. Here we go.
They sell replacement, I think, for $8 the top piece on it.
They should issue a recall or something. Yeah.
I'm going to knock on wood, but mine is not broken and I've never had a problem with it. So I can't figure out why everybody keeps breaking theirs.
Barry even showed me his and he said, I just keep mine in my pocket. I never dropped it, but it cracked at some point. And I brought mine to Lollapalooza and had my phone in there, one because I needed a case and two because I wanted an extra battery. And I was very happy that I had that on there because I did drop my phone on the concrete, but it did. That top portion, a whole bunch of pieces of plastic broke off. But so the IV Plus and the IV Lite, they're the same case design. It's a more flexible plastic, so it's not going to be as prone to breaking, supposedly. Of course, we don't have one for review, and we're just taking their word for that.
Yep.
But it looks good.
That's kind of the double-edged sword of doing the shows, and it's why I can totally understand, Mac Observer's policy of not giving awards to things that aren't shipping it, because prices can change, specs can change. One year, and this is embarrassing, but there was a speaker system from a certain company fully functioning, one of the biggest, companies out there, fully functioning, worked great, the whole thing. We gave it an award, and the next year they were introing it again because it still hadn't shipped yet. So for you guys at home, everything you see, just because if they say it's coming in March, it's probably June. If they say June, it's next year. So, as much as we can't wait to get our hands on this stuff, it does take a while.
Yeah,
which is why I think Jeff will probably tell us they wait until they only give it to things that are shipping, probably.
Right. Yeah. And actually, last year we had a big debate about whether or not to bend that rule. Because BusyCal was out in beta,
mm-hmm.
and it's a really, really great application, but it hadn't shipped, so we didn't give it an award, much to Dave Hamilton's dismay. But we all played fair, so it was cool.
Yeah,
and this year it won an award.
Cool. Yeah, they were. I did see them
shipping.
There. Yeah. So, do any of you guys want to say something, mention a cool product that you found?
On the topic of batteries, I don't know if I'd actually use it, but just because it's so much juice, and I was having that problem at Macworld, right across almost from Fast Mac was HyperMac, and they had their new iPod batteries, but they're huge, and they have one that's like 7,200 milliamps. It's about the size of a 3.5-inch external, portable drive. I mean, it's huge. But it'll charge your iPhone, like six times, or any other USB device for that matter,
Well, they had a couple over there that also would recharge your MacBook. You could power your MacBook off of this extra battery. It's like a car battery.
The big, beefy, expensive ones. Those have been around for a while. I guess these new iPod batteries were kind of new. It's interesting how they get those connectors, by the way.
They, what's interesting about it is they buy them and cut off the ends.
Yeah, Apple doesn't license the MagSafe, so they have to like pay full boat for a power adapter.
Which explains why the things are sort of expensive. Was it like $300-$400 for the powerful one? Was it just the year of the battery show or what? Because even Mophie had, and I thought it was kind of made moot a little bit by the fact that it only works on Wi-Fi, but they had a new juice pack that you could get, you know, wireless streaming TV on your iPhone.
Yeah, that's the Flow TV.
Flow, yeah. So everyone had a battery, and half of them had TV in the battery. I don't know if they all got together and huddled before and said, let's all put different kinds of TV in our battery product, but that seemed to be the theme of the show from the iPhone standpoint.
Yeah, the Flow TV, from what I understand, is from something from Qualcomm, and it's reusing some of the old Spectrum that, you know, went digital.
The 700 megahertz
TV
stuff.
Went digital. Yeah, it's like Channel 55. They went out and bought Channel 55 in like every major market, and are broadcasting live TV on that. And you need a little tuner to get it. And then the new Mophie has the tuner built into it. And then because of the whole dock connector, we can talk a little bit about the dock connector fiasco, because I think I don't know if we mentioned on the last show, but I think the dock connector is going to become so critical, especially with the iPad. And Apple made this big to-do about announcing, the SDK, you can now, you know, either Bluetooth or through the dock connector interface with hardware devices. But they seem to be, rumor I've heard is that they're being stingy about who they're allowing access from a hardware standpoint. So they're not certifying hardware to work. So even though developers can write software to interface, Apple's not letting just anybody do the hardware thing. So Mophie had to go, they do Wi-Fi. They use Wi-Fi from their case to the phone. So you don't even have to have the thing docked into the phone to get the TV. You just have to have it close to the battery thing.
Yeah, which is positive and negative. I think that you have to worry about connecting to the right wireless network when you want to use the Flow TV. And you also have to, if you're going to be using that, you can't be connected to a wireless point. Now, if you're watching TV, you're probably not going to be doing anything else with your phone. So that's okay. But I think what they said was that they're going to try to get that eventually. I don't know if they're going to ship. I think they're going to ship with the Wi-Fi version, and they're eventually going to get through the dock connector. But they're also from Mophie, the Mophie Marketplace, the credit card reader that they also had, that was going through the dock connector.
That was going through the dock connector.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, the cool thing about that was that they were actually selling Juice Pack Airs using that iPhone. So they just had an iPhone with that Mophie Marketplace card reader on there, and they were just swiping people's cards, and they were over 3G, and they just were selling them that way. It was really cool.
So meta.
Did you get over to talk to the Squared people?
I did.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I went over and I talked to those guys. You did not?
No, so I'm curious to hear your take. I heard a bunch of people say it was really cool because they're actually like giving away the thing, right?
Yeah, so basically it's when it does launch, and they're thinking, at the earliest April, probably June, July. But when they do launch, the app will be like $1 in the App Store, and then they will send you the special Square dongle for free, the card reader for free, when you buy the app.
I probably want to tell people what Square is.
So Square is...
Is it Square or Squared?
It's Square.
Okay.
So Square is a point of sale, another credit card payment system for your iPhone or iPod Touch, and it differs from stuff like the Mophie in several ways. The first being that it doesn't connect through the dock connector; it actually goes through the reader itself goes through the headphone jack. So it'll actually work on other phones. You know, another phone besides the iPhone or the iPod Touch. It'll work on stuff like Android they're planning on working on. And it also does not require a special bank account. So you don't have to have a merchant account. You just have your regular bank account, and the money will go into that.
Okay, now it became really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So the idea is, if you watched the video that Adam Lissagore, a.k.a. Lonely Sandwich, did, he used an example of his friend coming over and wanting to buy his couch from him. So he just took out his little Square dongle, swiped his card, and processed the payment. And there you go. No paper. It actually sends you a receipt in your email. And the Mophie will do the same thing, but it's everything in the interface for Square is actually designed by The wonderful Robert Anderson, who did all the MobileMe stuff too at Apple. So it's very pretty and very easy to use. And there's only a transaction fee of it's 2.9% for every transaction.
Yeah. The one thing I think Mophie pointed out that they're doing is they're just selling the hardware and they're letting whoever write the software. So you're going to see, like, I would imagine you're going to see a lot of apps that support the Mophie hardware. Square is doing the whole thing, right?
The Square guy told me that he was going to try to get with Mophie because he wants his platform to be compatible with their device.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
They've said that. I didn't hear that specifically, but they also told me, well, at their booth, they had this thing there that looked a lot like Apple's point of sale device that we talked about, which is really cool because it has a barcode scanner and it's got a battery and it works with the iPod. And that's what they use at the Apple store for checking people out. And the Square guys actually had one right there. And I picked it up and it's that exact same device. And I said, how did you guys get this? And they said, oh, it's just a third party company. I think it's Infinite Peripherals makes it. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a company that's near where I am, and it's in Arlington Heights, Illinois. And you can just, if you're a company who's interested in doing point of sale, then you can buy that, and it has an SDK, so you can make your own application to work with that. So if you want to do retail, then you can get that as well. But yeah, so they're working on getting the Square app to run on that reader as well.
Yeah, the Square hardware is, I guess, it must be super cheap if they're able to just like give it away and make their money back, because I would say that Mophie has a much better, design to it. It's more solid.
Oh yeah.
The Square thing kind of just spins around on your headphone jack as you're so you have to kind of hold on to it. It's a little bit awkward just mechanically.
Well, yeah, I asked the guy how he holds it, and he showed me, and I go, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I picked it up and I held it, and I immediately figured out the best way to hold it, so you're not putting a lot of pressure on the headphone jack and potentially ruining anything. So I think and it's an incredibly light little device, so I don't think we may see some issues with headphone jack issues, but I don't really think so.
I didn't really worry about that. It's just I talked to a couple people and they're like, yeah, if you're not, you don't have your finger on it or you're not holding it and you're swiping it, the thing kind of spins around.
But you figured out pretty quickly how to
I don't think it's a big deal, but
I think that the idea is they're going to, sell the application for a nominal fee and give individuals the little Square reader. So if you're a coffee shop or if you're just a guy who wants to have that ability, you'll have that option. And then I think down the line, we'll see more sophisticated readers like Mophie's Marketplace or potentially that device from Infinite Peripherals. So if you are a retailer, then you can use the same Squared system with a more sophisticated reader.
What I don't know if any of these guys are talking about, and just my concern now is that, any Joe Schmo and his brother is going to have a credit card swiper, right?
Yeah.
And think of all those instances when you're out and about and you hand somebody who you don't know your credit card.
Right.
Specifically, I'm thinking of like restaurants and stuff like that. And the guy kind of walks off in the back and comes back and hands you your check, Someone with an iPhone app, hey, I'll take $5 for myself.
Well, I guess the only line of defense in that is what it has been forever, is either the signature or the PIN. So if they forge a signature, I guess you have to make sure your bank statements are okay.
Nothing checks the signature. I mean, let's be honest.
No, it doesn't check the signature.
Not doing a signature comparison on the other end, they're just, so it just opens it up. Of course you're gonna hopefully see the charge. The guy's gonna get busted eventually or caught. Assuming he doesn't skip the country, so he's not gonna get that much money. But it's just another one of those things where I think a lot of the people these days don't really keep really tight eyes on their credit card bills, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's why we, we have Mint, of course, but you can just check your account and say, wait a second, where did $300 go?
Right.
And you'll see, oh, okay.
But you'd be surprised how many people don't know. It makes swiping a credit card so incredibly easy and kind of changes the dynamic of that whole dynamic. So I do have a little bit concerns where I think we're going to see some when these devices start hitting the street, there's going to be some abuse that goes on.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be some conversations around how do we control this, or how do people protect themselves when everybody who has an iPhone can take a credit card payment suddenly?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that the risks involved aren't necessarily large enough that we don't want to do this. I think it's definitely a good progression in how we handle money and that kind of thing, because I'm really excited about this, but we will definitely figure that kind of stuff out. And that's probably why Square has taken so long to come out with the public product. You know, they've been working with lots of companies for a while now in their pilot program, so they've worked out a lot of kinks, and I'm sure the progression of, because we're seeing a lot of card readers for the iPhone, so I think we're gonna it's gonna work itself out. I think,
you know, maybe I'm just someone that's spent far too many years on dealing with the dark side of society, but
You should preface that by saying that you used to be a cop.
Yeah, back in the old days.
Yeah. Cuddly Jeff used to be a cop. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, so when I first heard about this thing, I thought, oh my God, pot dealers are going to flip.
Hookers.
Oh yeah. You know what? I've actually had, I was at a gathering of friends, and someone was there that I didn't know. And someone mentioned that I was the iPhone guy, and he brought me aside. He goes, "Hey, is there a way to take credit cards on my phone?" You know, and I go, "Well, why do you want to do that?" And you know, he was a little cagey about why, and I quickly figured out what you know why he wanted to do that. But yeah, I totally, you know, that's going to happen. That's unavoidable, I think.
But they'll find out, though, because just because you're sidestepping a merchant account, you're still creating a digital transaction.
Right.
You're creating a bank of evidence against yourself.
So there's a paper trail.
Any good drug dealer knows better than to start charging credit cards, even if it is just going through Square.
Right.
If they lasted this long, they're not going to be that stupid. And if anybody's who's ever had a small business merchant account, there's a flat rate fee per transaction, per day that the transaction, per month. And it adds up so quickly that if you only do occasional charges, you can't afford it. I mean, it could wipe out.
Yeah, you know,
it's just such a layering of fees that this is like one of these things. It's almost like I think of the way iTunes kind of smashed the $18 to buy a CD and want one song model. This is the same kind of thing where it cuts through all the BS, and if they can pull it off without all the stuff you talked about, you know, killing them or hampering them, it could be a revolution in the way, you know, people can run small businesses.
Totally. My mechanic, I was sitting there waiting for something to be fixed on my car, and one of the guys who it's a multi-mechanic little setup there, and one of the guys was on the phone with the credit card company and complaining and saying, you know, that they're not doing it correctly, and he just wasn't happy with that whole situation because he does get charged a lot of money to have the ability to accept cards. And so it's difficult right now, and with Square's setup, I can see it. You know, the fact that it will be so easy that any person can have the system and use it whenever they need to is a great setup. So, moving on past all the card reader stuff, do you guys have anything else you want to talk about that you saw, anything cool at Macworld?
Well, it wasn't the most significant thing, but there were two different companies that rolled out a steering wheel that your iPhone mounts in the middle for racing games. I thought it was just, you know, yet another inexpensive kind of evolution of how we're going to hold it. We've seen the two-prong thing and the lead case and everything, and now it's, here's your iPhone and the steering wheel. So,
yeah, I did see that. I saw one of the, these guys had a lot of sticky products. So they have this special sticky material that you don't have to worry about taking your phone out of the case. It's just a... you stick it on there and you can pull it off and it just stays sticky, and you put it in there in the steering wheel. And there was another one that I saw over there at Macworld. And there was another thing from FastMac, which was really cool. They had AC outlets that had built-in USB ports. So that it had two of the standard AC outlets as well as two USB ports on either side, and it's for charging, which is awesome, because how many devices do we have these days? You know, Bluetooth headsets, iPhones, MP3 players, all that stuff, they all charge on USB. So why not put the USB right into the outlet, which is, you know, it's just fantastic. And I want these all over my house. And one of the really cool things about it is the FastMac guy pointed this out to me, is that if you have a USB adapter plugged into a wall all day, it's actually using a little bit of power. And even though it's not charging anything. So with these outlets, they actually have smart technology to turn off the drawing of power. And I think it's only $30, which...
Actually, I don't even think it's that much. I think it's like 20.
I think it's 20.
Yeah, it's like $24.95.
It's $20. It's $19.95 right now for pre-order. And then it'll be, I think it's $30 once it ships. And that's, isn't it like $30 to get an iPhone charger?
I think that's about what it is. And it still takes up an outlet.
Yeah, it still takes up an outlet. Yeah, so this will eliminate that need. Of course, you have to either have someone install this for you or do it yourself, which, you know, turn off the breaker while you do that.
Yeah, this isn't, it's not just a faceplate, it's a full socket replacement.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're not comfortable doing real serious, honest to God electrical work, have someone else do it for you.
I'm comfortable
with
it.
I heard he used to be a cop. I'm sure he used to
do that all the time
in the station house.
I am comfortable putting outlets in. So, you know, I can be bribed for good food and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol, just good food and any alcohol.
Well, you know, you have to set your standards somewhere. And,
yeah,
you know, I'd prefer good alcohol, but after a little while, it's all good alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the trick.
I don't know if you want this to be the all Macworld iPhone show.
That's fine.
I could keep going.
We can. No, that's fine. People
to get to as well.
We can talk about other stuff later. So keep going.
Do app. You want to do an app?
Yeah, go for it.
Did you guys see the parking meter app?
No, I actually didn't get a chance to.
Yeah, it was up in the little micro town that they had set up for the iPhone developers, where they got a quarter of a cocktail table.
You know, yeah. I'm going to totally derail for a second, so don't forget what app you're going to talk about. Okay. I absolutely loved that Macworld Expo did that, because it made it possible for a lot of developers to be there that otherwise wouldn't have been able to afford it. But holy crap, I couldn't find anything because it was so packed all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. That was going to be my only complaint. Yeah. Sorry.
I thought Eddie Vedder was going to go crowd surfing over top. You know, he could have. It was that tightly packed.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I felt like I was in a crowded bar. I mean, you could not move through there without, you know, bumping into 20 people.
Yeah, all we needed to round that out was a cocktail waitress and a live band on the stage.
Yeah, they needed to give, you know, next year, if I was a developer going there, I'd make sure I had like some flags that I could stick up on top so people could, you know, with your logo on it or something like that, so you could see who was it. Because they didn't have any place for signage for these poor guys, so they had, you know, like a little plaque kind of way down at the bottom in the back of their little wedge. So it was kind of hard to figure out who was
crazy
where.
Though, I mean, last year there were maybe, what, 5 app developers in the whole building, and this year there was like 100 and something?
I mean, I think they knew it was going to be affordable. Yeah.
You knew it was going to grow, but that's ridiculous.
I think it was $1,000. Is that right? $1,000 for one of those spots?
$1,000 total, because usually if you buy a $5,000 booth, which is what a 10x10 costs, you're going to spend another $5,000 on furniture and $65 trash cans that you have to rent and all kinds of stuff tacked on. But apparently this was... You know, you pay your $1,000 and that's it. You know,
it was super cheap.
Business cards.
You know, you didn't even have. You should. You know, bring your own chairs. Everyone was pretty uncomfortable from standing.
There was no room for chairs.
No, there really wasn't no room. No, there weren't. Yeah, there wasn't any room for the chairs. But I think the tables were a little bigger last year.
Last year they had to use the regular pavilion stuff, where it was one person per the little stand.
No, I think there were 4 people on a table. It was divided up, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah. I looked at a picture from...
It was
from,
a blur.
Yeah.
Last year they had the lemonade stand model, and I thought they'd do the same this year. I don't know if they could have fit 100 lemonade stands in that same space.
I know, I don't think they could have.
Spread it out.
I don't think they could have done that.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough space.
Okay, so Adam, you were going to talk about an app.
So, yeah, I was going to talk about this... It's a parking meter app called AutoPark, and I had a listener run up to me and say, "Oh, you got to go talk to this guy." And he actually won Macworld Best of Show for this app. And I thought, "Oh, I mean, come on, a parking meter app? How you know good could this be?" And I went over to talk to him, and it's got a really nice UI. It looks like a parking meter. The basic thing is you go, you park, you put your money in, and then you can dial in. Okay, I've got an hour on this meter, but then there's a bunch of other cool little features that kind of put it over the top. Because somebody pointed out to me, well, I do the same thing, but I use the built-in, timer app or whatever to remind me. So basically, you put that in and you can set a threshold that says, well, remind me at 15 minutes that my meter's about to run out so I can go feed the meter. And it has kind of a countdown. So you can do 15 minutes and then it'll notify you when you're completely out, red, saying, oh, run, you better run and get your meter before you get a ticket. But then he also added like GPS, so when you put it in, it records your GPS location, so you know where your car is. You can also attach a photo to that, so if you're in a space or an area and you're more of a visual person, you can snap that photo and do it that way. He also has one for like parking garages in any place where they have like you're in B1. So he's got the little roller wheels and colors, so you can say, well, I'm on level one, it's orange, and I'm in space 25. Or whatever. So you can dial all that in. And it uses push notifications to notify you when, those times are coming up. Didn't stop there, though. He also added a location services thing. So if you get back to your car and you're like, oh, I got to get gas, you can tap a button and it'll show you all the gas stations that are near you. Or you want to go get a bite to eat, the restaurants or the coffee shops or whatever. So that's in there as well. You can also email all this information, click one button and have all this information emailed to somebody. So, it's just like it does kind of everything in one little app. And I think it's like $2 or something like that.
It's $5, actually.
Well, OK, so it was on sale for $2.99 at the show special. And I guess that's over now. But yeah.
OK, what's it called again? I want to look
it up.
Auto Park.
Called Auto Park.
That's really cool.
It's got a nice design and it was just really well thought out. I don't park at parking meters all that often, so I don't know if I would have a use for it, but it's one of those ideas that's just something people have to deal with, and here's an app that's a solution, and it's really creatively done. And
yeah,
he definitely thought of all the kind of edge cases and it's all in there.
Yeah, I love the idea that he put in the ability to take a picture, because I almost do that just anyway. I'll take a picture to make sure that, if I get confused. And so if I have a picture, I can, oh yeah, there, that's where I parked my car. Cool.
So now all we need is a Wi-Fi, way to like feed the meter remotely. And
yeah.
Build this app in and
they're going to do that with text messaging, right? There was a story about them doing that maybe in New York or something where you can pay.
Right, where you could text message the meter with, and put more money in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't do a lot of parking meter stuff, but I know I did a couple times in Chicago when I go there. I usually park at a friend's house, but if I need to, I need to get this because that seems like it'd be very handy.
Yeah, so that's very cool.
Yeah. You guys can jump in. Actually, I don't have anything else to talk about. That's all on my list of cool stuff found at Macworld. That's all I have, except for.
Did you go see the Byte Squared people? Dave Hamilton told me to go over and talk to them.
Oh yeah, that's very cool.
Now
I'll let you take that one, Jeff.
All right, so Byte Squared, they have an iPhone app, an iPod Touch app called Office Squared. So it's Office and then the number 2, all one word, and it's an office suite that runs on your iPhone or iPod Touch. You can create new documents. You can edit documents. You can read documents. You can sync with Google Docs. So you can actually create documents on your Mac that go to Google Docs and then sync that out to your iPhone or iPod Touch, work on the same documents. Then they sync back. And so then you can work on them on your Mac again too. It's very slick.
Sweet. Yeah, I did go over to that booth. It's Byte Squared. What's the app called?
Office Squared.
Office Squared.
And it's $6. That was the thing for me.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the price is $6. A lot of the other Office apps that are out there are much more expensive than that. And, of course, it also works with iDisk as well.
Right.
So, but the Google Doc integration, I think, does kind of put it over the top. And that and the price for me, I was like, oh, wow. And the UI is, again, very, very well done. They thought out things like tables and, you know, doing things like you can copy from the iPhone Excel document a table and then paste that over in your Word document. You know, so you can grab a bunch of cells and copy and paste that over into a Word doc. And it's like actually really usable. A lot of the UI things were very well thought out in terms of how do you navigate on, you know, this small screen.
Yeah, they did a very good job with the interface. And actually, that won Editor's Choice Award, too, for Mac Observer.
Yeah. They actually used they were using the pop over stuff that the iPad has. And I think that's a really good UI element to use in at least in stuff like office documents and that sort of thing to pick, you know, font styles and that kind of thing.
It is. And I'm hoping that they do an iPad version too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they will.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they will too.
Okay. So, Mac Speech showed me something cool at their booth. They're working on an application. So if you don't know what Mac Speech is an application that lets you dictate into your computer, and it also lets you control your computer with voice. So they're working on an application for your iPhone right now that is essentially a remote microphone for that using your iPhone or iPod Touch. So you run the app on your iPhone or iPod Touch, and it acts as a microphone wireless, so you can walk away from your computer and dictate to it. I believe you can control your computer that way, and you can also just dictate text. And will that text be available? Jeff, you met with them, right?
Yeah. Well, the way it works, if you remote control stuff, I believe that's coming later. They're working on that. But the voice part where you talk to it, well, duh, voice, you're talking to it. Okay. Anyhow, so the part where you record dictation, you talk into your iPhone, and then it syncs back into iTunes, and then there's an application on your Mac that then takes that audio file and then converts it into text for you.
Okay, so it will actually give you text on your phone.
Yes. Well, it gives you text on your Mac. It records it as audio, but it records it in whatever way they need to record it so that it can be easily converted into text once it learns your speaking patterns.
Right. So it actually it processes on your Mac. So can you get text back to your phone? So if you want to dictate something and maybe send off an email using your phone, is that available through that?
I don't think it's available yet.
Okay.
But I think that's one of the things they're working on. Their big thing was they actually wanted to get this up and running so that people could start using it. And then they're going to start adding in all of those other cool features as, you know, over the next few months.
Yeah. Okay. So the interesting news about this is, you know, as I was talking to them, I mentioned, oh yeah, well, you know, Dragon has the ability to dictate, and he goes, oh yeah, well, it doesn't do this, and you know, ours does this, and that sort of thing. Yesterday, what's the company name that does Dragon?
Nuance
announced Nuance. That they purchased Max Speech.
Yeah, how about that?
Which Adam or Jeff, you guys, either of you can take this. I thought it was very interesting because they do about the same thing.
Well, okay, keep in mind that Max Speech has been using Nuance's Dragon speech recognition engine since 2008.
Okay.
So right. So it's not like this is something where we have one company buying another and there's no relationship between the products they're making. So from what I have heard, what Nuance is planning on doing is continuing to build the Mac Speech products and carry on with a Macintosh specific voice recognition product line. But now they'll be able, instead of, you know, just saying here's the engine and here's how you hook into it, they'll actually be able to optimize all the code specifically for the engine.
right? Okay. Right. What I was excited about was I think this is an approach that I think more I wish more companies would take. So Mac Speech has been doing text to speech on the Mac and the Mac only for years and years and years. And then, like Jeff said, in 2008, they finally were able to license the underlying engine technology from Nuance, the Dragon stuff, which was considered to be kind of the best in the industry for accuracy and things like that. I mean, Mac Speech had done very, very well on their own for years, but they added that in and that kind of put it over the top with the Dictate product. And what's great about Nuance buying Mac Speech now is from everything that I gathered from the press release and kind of talking to them is that they're going to take like the Microsoft approach where Nuance makes products for the PC and stuff like that, but they really wanted a product line dedicated to the Mac that is using Mac people and people who know Macs and building Mac and iPhone and iPod specific products. So I think they're just going to kind of acquire all the people and resources and technology that Mac Speech has, roll them into Nuance, but have kind of this division that's still creating the Mac products using the Nuance underlying technologies.
Cool.
But are we going to see the letters of Mac Speech jumping around in giant costumes for each letter at Macworld next year? That's a Microsoft approach. How far are they going to take?
That's only for the employees that have very bad performance reviews.
I wanted to walk up to like the W at the Microsoft booth and say, how badly did you piss off Steve Ballmer? What did you actually – did you kill his cat?
The Word logo. Yeah,
we're very sorry you have to wear the W this year.
Yeah, I did want to walk up to the people and just say, I am so, so sorry.
Well, at least, you know, poor Entourage, people probably just walked up and kicked him in the groin all the time.
Was there an E?
Well, up until he had to go to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you suck so bad?
Actually, I don't think there was an E because
I don't think there was.
You know, they're killing the Entourage name, and Entourage is becoming Outlook.
Right, Outlook, yeah. Which hopefully will be better. I hold out hope, but it never seems to happen every time, you know, Microsoft does this. I mean, Entourage has gotten a little bit better, but it's always been a second class client to the Outlook on the PC, and if you've ever worked in an office environment, you know what I'm talking about. It's like miserable to be on the Mac and have to use Entourage, and you know, not all the features work, and everybody's like, didn't you get my meeting request, or didn't you know that I had that room reserved? And it's like, well, no, because Entourage doesn't support that.
Right, because it's not like anyone on a Mac ever needs to actually have a room to do something in.
Right.
We'll use a Mac.
There's all kinds of kludges in way. Anyway.
So just to wrap up the Mac Speech thing. So was Dragon on the Mac? Is Dragon on the Mac right now?
No. Through Mac Speech, yes.
Okay. Right, so before the acquisition, you could not get Dragon, naturally speaking, for the Mac.
That is correct.
Huh. Okay. Well, awesome. So we will have that kind of technology on the Mac now.
Yeah, well, you did already. Mac Speech was already using the underlying engine, but they had to write all the code on top of it, you know, that looks like Mac, and so the application acts like a Mac. So that's what I was saying. I really think, according to the press release, it sounds like Dragon or Nuance plans to continue the kind of the Mac Speech line. I'm guessing it'll be rebranded as Dragon for the Mac, but it's really going to be, I think, developed by Mac people who know Mac stuff, and it's not going to be just a port of the PC stuff over, which never ends well for Mac users.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, so this will be sort of like Nuance's version of the Mac BU.
That's what I'm hoping, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like.
Cool. All right. Awesome. So, it's time to, we're about to talk about our iPhone picks, but before we do that, I have to talk about our sponsor, and our sponsor this month is Citrix with GoToAssist Express. Now, actually, before I started preparing for the podcast today, I've been helping out my cousin, who unfortunately has a Windows PC, and she called me and said, you know, I'm getting all these pop-ups. I'm having these issues. I don't know what to do. I've got to write a paper by the end of the week. You know, you've got to help me out. And, you know, even though I have a Mac and I say that I don't know anything about Windows, unfortunately, I know enough that I can actually help. So I had to help out with her virus stuff. And so this is where GoToAssist Express is totally awesome, because I feel like we're all probably you know, the tech support for our families. So trying to do something over the phone is tough to do. You can't really see what they're doing. And especially since I don't use a PC, you know, she was saying, oh, I've got this little thing. Is this the right thing, you know, that I want to click? Do I want to click yes or no? You know, what do I do? I couldn't see it, so I wasn't sure. So I said, all right, open up your browser and go to this address and type in this this meeting ID. And then I can immediately I saw her screen. She didn't really have to do anything. She just went to a web address and typed in a number that I told her to go to. And then I was seeing her screen and seeing what kind of stuff was running in the background, what kind of applications she had, you know, what her machine specs were. And I could help her out and tell her which buttons to click, tell her how to, you know, disinfect stuff and do Windows Update and all that stuff.
It's now, is this where I can make the joke about how you launched Firefox on her computer, went to the Apple store and ordered a Mac for her?
Well, it works on the cool thing about Citrix, the Go to Assist, it works on the Mac and the PC. So I'm on a Mac and I opened up the Mac client. And immediately just, I don't really, see the great thing about it is I don't have to go to web browser and log in. I just open the app and it knows about my account. It just says, here's what you need to tell them. So it's even easy for me. So it's incredibly easy. It actually has integrated live chat. So if I'm not on the phone, I can do that. You can send and receive files. So if there's a patch that you need to send over, actually it the send and receive files part does not work on the Mac. I want to say that because, you know, I don't want to mislead people, but it does work on the PC. So you can send and receive files. You can see all the apps that are running in the background, all the specs of the computer. It has 128-bit SSL encryption, so it's really secure, so you don't have to worry about, you know, that information getting out because you are looking at someone else's screen. And if you're in tech support, it does up to 8 sessions at once. So if you're, you know, updating one computer, you can jump over to the other computer. And I want you to try it free for 30 days. I'm actually using the free 30-day trial, so I'm very impressed with this. And I think, Adam, you use it too, right?
Yeah, I'm using the free trial as well because they're a sponsor of my show, and I've been very impressed. But I'm impressed with all the Citrix products. I've used GoToMeeting. I've used GoToWebinar. They used at my old office to do their webinars. They absolutely love it. So Citrix, you know, just makes it, it makes it so easy, like you're saying.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So if you want to, I highly recommend that you try it out. So there's a free 30-day trial. If you go to gotoassist.com/Allie, that way they know, you know, who you heard it from. You go there, you can try it for 30 days. You have to, I believe you need a credit card to sign up, right?
Yeah, you do.
You need your credit card, but they won't charge you. And you can actually, as soon as you've signed up, you can say, don't auto renew in case you're worried about that happening. So you can try it free for 30 days. gotoassist.com/Allie. Give it a try. It's fantastic. I love it. It works very well. And I think I'm probably going to keep doing it because, you know, if I, you know, my dad's just called me before the podcast and said he's getting a new computer. So I'm probably going to have to help him with that. So gotoassist.com/Allie. That is the address. And we thank them for sponsoring the iPhone Allie podcast. And with that, we will talk about our iPhone picks. Bill Palmer, would you like to go first?
Sure, because we saved the best for last, so I'll go first. I actually, you know, I'll make my excuses here. I was at Macworld all week, and I don't really do app coverage. I was looking at hardware stuff the whole time.
Well, but, you can do a hardware pick if you want.
Actually, actually, the coolest app I saw, though, was when I went to one of the sessions from BT, the musician, you know. And I remember back when you know, famous musicians first started bringing out their apps, it was just like a vanity thing. Here's my tour date. Here's a little video of me. Here's me. And BT's app, which is Sonify, which is Sonify, is actually really cool because it takes his music and you can, just by screwing around with some buttons on there and kind of jerking your iPhone around, you can kind of remix the whole song on the fly and come up with something unique. So I haven't downloaded it yet. I haven't played with it. But from the demo that BT did on, you know, during his presentation, I thought it was just really cool to see, you know, musician apps that aren't just like, look at me, I'm a musician anymore. So I guess that'll be my pick.
Yeah, that looks... you know, I've seen a lot of those applications that you're talking about, like the Deadmau5 app, for example, doesn't do a whole lot. This, I'm looking at the screenshots right now. It looks cool. It looks like it has a lot. And you actually went to the BT session. I didn't get a chance to see that.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's, I guess kind of one of the nice things about being a different show this year is you could kind of sometimes step away to the sessions. And that was, I think it was like the last morning. So it was, you know, kind of worn down by that point, but it was he's just a bundle of energy, you know. So and everything he does is on Apple products, so it's kind of cool to see him interviewed and, you know, see that he's as into this stuff as we are.
Yeah, he was actually in the media room, and I saw him with his entourage, and I wasn't familiar with him for any other reason except because he's been in a lot of Apple promo videos. I think he's been in a couple like MacBook Pro or PowerBook videos.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. That's the first way I heard about him years and years ago, something on the Apple website that was all about him.
Yeah. But cool. Yeah, this looks like a great application. It has some really good ratings. So 3.5 stars, average rating, and it's $4.99. It's called Sonify. Is it Sonify or Sonify? Do you know?
You know, now that you mention it, I can't remember. We'll go with BTFI.
S-O-N-I-F-I, Sonify. And that's...
Or Beat Week, I think.
Yes, actually,
somewhere.
I think it is Beat Week.
Going to have to change our name again. BT stole it.
No, actually, don't worry. We've already covered your attorneys, and he has to change it. He also has to change his name because we have assigned the BT trademark to you.
Oh, good. Okay. BT Week, then. It's ours.
Yeah.
Yay. Does that mean we get all his royalties now for
BT
his
Weekly?
Too? Poor guy. We just took all his money and his name.
No, I know. It is not. Business is cruel.
He gets
it
free Macs anyway,
weekly,
so it's fine.
Michael, that's something completely different.
Okay. I wondered who was going to say that. Yes. Yeah. I really thought Jeff was going to be the one to crack that joke.
You know, I have been biting my tongue.
So have I.
I was waiting for the right moment. It just seemed felt right.
All right, Adam, what's your pick?
Okay, my pick, actually, I found out about at Macworld, but not on the show floor, actually from hanging out with Jean from Smile on My Mac, our favorite
friend.
Isn't
she like the greatest ever?
Yeah, I told her, I said, show me some cool apps. And so she showed me GeoMaster, which is a game, educational game, though. And it's important to note because I need this because of the education system in America growing up with geography. So
yeah,
I think it's 99 cents. I want to say it's 99 cents. Hopefully I'm getting that right. Someone can double check me.
It's 99 cents. Yep,
it is.
Okay. And so what it does is you can do U.S. states, U.S. cities, South American countries, African countries, Asian countries, European countries, world flags, French departments, and world capitals. So any one of those things. So I've only been doing the U.S. states because I did it the first time, and I'm like, oh my god, I have no idea where any states are.
It's so embarrassing. I've actually used this app, and it's so like, oh, I totally know like a bunch of this stuff, and you go in, and you're like, I have no idea.
Right.
And even me, because I've been, you know, it's been a less amount of time since I've been, you know, ostensibly in school learning about things. But
so
yeah.
Basically, yeah, what it does is it brings up the name of the state and the capital, and then you have to tap the state on the map, and it zooms in and zooms out. There's a couple little things. The zooming in and out takes a little bit of getting used to at first, and if you want to get a really fast time, because it times you, you have to kind of tap away the text as soon as you read it. That'll let it go faster, so they need to do some little things with the timing, but then it'll keep track of, you know, how fast you can do it. So I've now gotten my U.S. states down to, I can do all, and this is the other complaint, all 48, because somehow it leaves off Hawaii and Alaska aren't included. I don't know why that is.
I think because everybody knows those, right?
Maybe they know something we don't know.
Well, it is, how do I say this without getting myself in trouble? It is developed by a company out of France, so maybe
they don't know,
or maybe they do
maybe
know
it's
something
a
that we don't
state.
Know. Exactly. But anyway, I've gotten down to 3 minutes and 16 seconds. I can do all 48, so that's pretty good. Beat that, and it will show. You can see your local scores. It does keep track of it. Has what it calls a world challenge leaderboard, so you can see how you rank against everybody throughout the world. And I've only done, like I said, the U.S. states so far. Played around with the flags is kind of cool too, but I have no idea country flags. But anyway, if you want to learn geography, you want to get smarter about that, this is a great app for a buck, and it's a lot of fun.
Awesome. GeoMaster.
GeoMaster.
I've used it, and I think it's great too. Jeff, do you have an iPhone pick for us this week?
I totally do. And this is one that I found out about when some friends were talking with me at Macworld Expo and totally turned me on to it. I'm going to the fun end tonight. IDW Comics. They have a comic book reader app for the iPhone. It's free, and then you can go and buy and download the comics. And they also have like some focused versions of the apps. Like I've also downloaded the Star Trek comics app, which is free, and it's just this really slick little comic book reader app for your iPhone or iPod Touch. And when you go and download it, you get to download like two or three comics for free also. So you can try it out without having to pay anything.
Oh, cool. But
the graphics look fantastic. It's easy to navigate through. And I am so hoping, and I'm sure they are doing this, but I'm so hoping they do an iPad version too.
Now, does this, I saw a couple comic book applications at Macworld. Does this do the autoplay for the different, what do they call it, cells? I don't read comics.
I think it does. I haven't tried because I like actually looking at each individual cell in the comics because I really enjoy the artwork.
Yeah.
So I like to just leave it sitting on one cell while I'm just soaking everything in. So I haven't tried to see if there's an autoplay. I bet there is.
So is there a button that'll let you focus on individual cells so you can go next and it'll focus on those different cells or?
Yeah, actually what you do is you rotate it so it's vertical so that it's in a landscape mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. And then, you know, a lot of times you'll have cell on top, middle and bottom. And so then you can just swipe through and it takes you through each one of the cells.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's free.
And it's free. And you can download some free comics. So you can try it out. And all it takes is a little bit of bandwidth. You don't have to shell out any cash just to see if this is something you like.
Cool. It's called. Okay, so
they come with tights and a cape?
Mine did. I'm wearing them now. And nothing else.
Yep. Yeah. It's free. IDW Comics in the App Store. Well,
so I have to ask this question. I was waiting patiently because I just tried out the Panelfly. Did you try Panelfly by any chance for comparison, Jeff?
No, I haven't tried Panelfly.
Okay. Because my only complaint about Panelfly, which is also great for comics and it just has different titles and things like that, I think, I checked them out because they already announced they are doing an iPad app.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see what the experience was like on the iPhone, and I hadn't tried it out yet. And my big complaint is you can get the comics on the iPhone, you can load them, but for navigating panels, you know, like you guys are talking about, it didn't have a way to lock in. Like, I was fully expecting that I could double-tap a panel, and it would zoom just so that panel was maximized in my iPhone screen. And so Panelfly didn't have that feature. Do you know, does the IDW Comics have that kind of feature? It sounds like it does maybe when you rotate it 180. And maybe Panelfly has it too, and I just haven't figured out how to do it. So this is also, I'm mentioning this just in case I missed it somehow with Panelfly, so somebody can send me an email and say, no, you idiot, do it this way.
But
that was the only deficiency, because reading on such a small screen, yeah, I don't think it'll be as big a problem on the iPad, but on the iPhone, it's sort of like you can't read the text unless you zoom in. So with the Panelfly, you just kind of have to, you can double tap and it'll zoom, but then you got to do the kind of scrolling around and the pinch to zoom in further if it's still not zoomed in enough. It was sort of like, why can't I just double tap this one panel and that's just what I see in the screen? You know, the one panel, and then I can swipe and it goes to the next panel and sizes it appropriately, and then swipe and go to the next panel. I'd really like to see that in one of these comic book apps. So I'll check it out and see.
All right. So the answer is no, it doesn't. But when you do the horizontal view, it shows you the comic in a format that's much better for viewing on the iPhone, because it actually does fill the screen with individual cells.
Gotcha.
So you can actually read the text.
I saw a comic application at Macworld, and I'm not sure. It definitely had that ability that you're talking about, Adam, but I'm not sure if it was Panelfly. I don't think it was Panelfly. I think it was something else.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I just realized, too, it looks like Panelfly does have something kind of like that in the landscape mode, which I hadn't tried yet, where you tap the sort of right hand of the screen and it auto-scrolls. I think that's what you were talking about, right, Michael, where it kind of auto-scrolls from one section of the page to the next.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than jumping from page to page.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's still not quite what I'm thinking about. It just seemed to make sense if you have, you know, 10 panels on a page, why isn't it just automatically maximizing to the size of each individual panel?
Yeah, I know that, at least one application on the iPhone does that. So I'm sure one of our listeners will send us an email saying, you know, which one does that, or maybe that Panelfly does it. So if you want to send an email, you can send that to podcast@iPhoneAlley.com. And so my pick is Meebo, and Meebo is a chat application. As you probably already know, they have a web interface where you can go and log into AIM and MSN and all that stuff. So they finally came out with their native application for the iPhone, and it's very stripped down, but in a good way, in a very, very good way, because I'd been using Beehive for a long time. And not because it's the best in terms of user experience or even UI. It's still very clunky. Beehive is pretty clunky, and it's got a lot of features, but they're everywhere. It's a complicated application, and it does weird things. It behaves weirdly. So Meebo is a free chat application. It allows you to sign in with a Meebo account. So if you don't have a Meebo account already, you can sign up on your phone or online. And then you link in whatever third-party accounts you have. So you can do AIM, MSN, Yahoo, Google, MySpace, ICQ, Jabber, and Facebook, and other things too. So once you've got all that linked in, I just have my AIM account on here. And so I'm signed in with Meebo, and it's just incredibly simple in that you just have exactly what you need and nothing else. So you have your buddy list with all of your buddies aggregated from whatever accounts you've logged in with. You can actually, it has two sections. So it has the, so if you have groups, you can collapse and expand those. You can collapse your offline groups. You don't have a huge list going. And it actually works in a very similar way to, if you remember the original AIM demo for the iPhone back with the 2.0 SDK announcement. So it has a little smiley face icon to the right of the text field, so you can tap that and pull up a smiley if you want. Otherwise, you just type in there and hit send. The return button is actually the send button. And to swipe, to get between different chats, if you're chatting with more than one person, you just swipe left or right. You can see, you know, there's a little page, paging icons that show up at the bottom, so you can see how many chats you have going, and you swipe back and forth, and that's really the entire app. The benefits are that it's very snappy, it has push notifications, the interface looks great, and it's free. So it doesn't, there are some features that it doesn't have. I don't think it'll do group chats, and not yet anyway. And it doesn't do the thing that Beehive or like iChat on your Mac does, where it'll read your address book and say, oh, okay, you know, Adam's, you know, this is Adam's screen name. So it'll just say Adam Christensen. It doesn't do that in Meebo like it does in Beehive. But if you're looking for a really good free chat app for your iPhone, this is great. And I'm actually using this instead of Beehive for a while anyway, just because Beehive is pretty sucky. So it's free, and it's called Meebo, and that's my pick.
All right. So, Michael, do you know if any of the chat apps can handle group chats in AIM?
Yeah, Beehive actually does that.
Oh, Beehive does. Okay.
Yep. That's a recently added feature, but it will do that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, geez, that's probably reason enough for me to go get that.
Yeah. So, but honestly, all of the, except for, Meebo all the chat apps in the App Store, suck. They totally suck for, you know, as far as UI design and experience, it's and they're all pretty flaky for whatever reason. I don't know why. And they've been around forever. And it's interesting that Miibo took so long to come out with an app. But
it's time for the AIM protocol to die. I only say it because I spent the whole day battling with iChat. And it's having trouble, and it's like it's a 100-year-old protocol created by AOL. So
yeah.
You know, what do you expect from the apps? They're working on a platform of quicksand to begin with.
That's true. Yep. Okay. So it's free. And with that, we'll wrap it up here. You can get the iPhone picks that we just talked about. You can get links and prices and all that stuff, as well as the show notes at iPhoneAlley.com/podcast. You can send us feedback to podcast@iPhoneAlley.com. And you can find Jeff Gamet at the Mac Observer, MacObserver.com, and Twitter.com/JGamet. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
As always, thanks for having me. It's like a party online.
It's a party on the Skype for the internet. And Adam Christensen, thank you so much for being here from the MacCast, MacCast.com and Twitter.com/MacCast.
Hey, thank you for letting me hang out once again.
Yeah. And also thanks to Bill Palmer at, is it BeatWeek.com now?
Yeah, and actually in the past 5 minutes we decided to change it back to iProng because people like that name a lot. It's beatweek.com, and we got a new issue out with Taylor Hicks from American Idol is on the cover. There's a fun interview in there, so have at it, kids.
Check it out, beatweek.com. That's the new iProng magazine. And you can also find Bill on twitter.com/BillPalmer. Thanks for being here, Bill. It's great having you, even though I think it was 3 minutes before we started. I said, hey, come on the show.
I tell you something, I've had the flu since I got home, and I'm just getting over it. If you'd asked me this morning, I would have said no. your timing was perfect. So I'm like, oh, my fever is gone. Let's do it. Yeah.
You sound good. You know, I can tell now that you actually said it that you might be a little congested, but you sounded good.
Yeah, well, you know, like 3 days without talking, I guess it paid off.
Yeah.
Now I'm screwed. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, it's all your fault, Michael. But Bill, you looked great at the expo.
Are you hitting on me?
Totally.
Well, I thought we were keeping that under the down low.
Wait, people listen to this show?
I hope not. Oh, wait, we're recording this?
Crap.
Yep. Poor Michael's like, God, we almost got through a show professionally. What happened?
It's fine.
I know what happened. We were invited on. That's what happened.
That's your first mistake, man.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for us. You can find iPhone Alley on Twitter, twitter.com/iPhone Alley. And with that, another iPhone Alley podcast is done.
An iPod.
That's a little quiet. If you can't change anything, I'm sure the levelator will fix it in post.
How about now?
Yeah,
you sound hot.
If you just put it in your mouth,
and you're right on the mic.
You just get way up.
How about
I didn't fall for that line in college. Not gonna fall for it now.
Well, there was that one time.
Well, there's always a one time.
But that was last week.
Yeah, that was totally different.
And that was Jeff, so am I going to say no to him? No, of course not. So,
oh, no, and love you.
I hope we haven't started recording yet.
Oh, I'm recording. I'm always recording.
No. Yuck, yuck, no.
Wait, I think I got Jeff's talking points.
Is it all just, like, porn sites?
Well, it just says penis, vagina, penis.
But those are Jeff's.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Yuck, 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 yuck. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers.